And yes, baptism and the Lord's Supper are worship services. They aren't just something we tack on the end of the worship service. Are we okay there? All right. When we are in worship and baptism and the Lord's Supper is included in our time together, we should see that not as a break, but as a continuation of worship. So worship, prayer, Bible study, baptism, the Lord's Supper, discipleship training, and the practice of discipleship. The Lord says that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? And so often we think of discipleship training is, well, we're going to do Bible study and learn about following Jesus. But that's not discipleship. Discipleship is learning the truth from God's Word and applying it by the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily, moment-by-moment experiences in life. And so, worship and discipleship. And then evangelism. The third function is evangelism, and that's proclaiming the good news that brings new life to people. Proclaiming the good news that brings new life. And part of evangelism is baptizing. We talk about professions of faith, but are those professions of faith being manifested biblically in baptism? People need to confess Christ, but a full confession of Christ as Lord and Savior is beginning to be a disciple, to follow Him through believer's baptism that demonstrates the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it also demonstrates that the death of the old man, the burial of that old man, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. And so evangelism, let's not separate evangelism from baptism, but we'll take what we can get, right? But let's not stop when we're sharing the plan of salvation with just sharing the plan of salvation. Let's, as a part of that plan of salvation, talk to people about the importance of getting baptized. Does our church here baptize? Okay. So where's a good place for someone we lead to the Lord to be discipled and baptized? Sierra Baptist Church, good place? All right. So follow up your proclamation of the gospel, your sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ with, now that you have made a profession of faith, you need to follow through with baptism and church membership. And so come with me to Sierra Baptist Church. I want to introduce you to my pastor, to my Sunday school teacher, to my Christian friends there. You're going to love them. They're great people. And fellowship. And so many people say, well, fellowship, that's pie and coffee after church. Well, that's good fellowship. But fellowship is a sum total of our life together with God and with each other. Okay? It's the community life of the church. And the community life of the church is community life with, first and foremost, with God on an individual basis, but then with each other in community. We're living the Christian life together. So a missional church does these five functions: worship, discipleship, evangelism, ministry, and fellowship. It does it locally, but it doesn't stop with the community, the local community that it's in. Its heart and hands extend beyond its property lines and beyond its neighborhood and beyond its city limits and beyond its county to advance God's kingdom in its state, nation, and throughout the world. So a truly missionary church has an understanding that the gospel is for the nations. We have a story to tell to the nations. Amen? Who's going to tell the story? We as Christians have the privilege and the responsibility and the task of telling the story. A missional church does not say to its neighbors, you come to us, we're waiting here in our building for you to come to us. Why aren't you coming to us? Okay. And I know of two churches, Southern Baptist churches, both in Santa Barbara County, that they're not saying this now, but they were saying it in the past. Some of the leaders were saying, look, we have spent a lot of money on land and buildings, and if they want to know about God, they can come here and learn about Him. Well, that's a missionary strategy, or that's a strategy, but it's not very effective. It's not biblical, and it's not in obedience with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't say, buy land, build a building, and they will come. No, He said, go. Amen? Go, go, go. So a missional church listens to the Great Commission by Jesus, who commanded us to go into our city, into our region, and to the uttermost parts of the world. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus tells us to love God, who is the Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Too often, we concentrate on loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we don't show love to our neighbor as we should. And in not showing love to our neighbor as we should, we actually are disobedient to God, and we're not loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of His commandments is to go and make disciples. So the most important way that we can love our neighbor is to share the gospel with our neighbor and help our neighbor to be born again and to be adopted into the family of God. And we love them enough to help them to escape hell and to enter the kingdom of God and enter into the kingdom of heaven. So a missional church receives God's blessing and then shares God's blessings locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally for God's glory and for man's good. I'm reminded of Psalm 133, how blessed and good it is for God's people to dwell in unity. Are you familiar with that psalm? And the psalmist writes that the unity of Christ's church is like Mount Hermon, the dew on Mount Hermon. And the dew forms on Mount Hermon, and the snow, and the water from that dew and snow permeates through the mountain down to the base of the mountain, which forms the headwaters of the Jordan River. Okay? And I was thinking this morning, out west from here, we have Pacific Ocean, and the condensation comes up, right? And the wind blows it to the Sierras, and we get rain, and we get snow. And what happens to that rain and snow? At some point, it flows down the mountains into the foothills, into the valleys, and gives life wherever it goes. And that's the way that the blessings of the Lord are for Sierra Baptist Church. It's appropriate to build reservoirs for water, but at some point you've got to let the water out of the reservoirs so the water can do what God sent the water to do, to give life to those in the foothills and the valley. Okay, so for us to truly be a blessing to people, we need to share the blessings of God's Word. The blessings of God's Word are gifts to the church, and then the church gives these gifts, disperses these gifts to people all around us. Well, sometimes in Southern Baptist life and ministry, we've heard it said, pray and give so that others may go. Anybody who's been in Southern Baptist life and ministry quite a while remember hearing that? Pray and give so others may go. Well, what we've discovered is there's a shortage of people who are willing to go, and those who are willing to go, there's not enough money to pay them full-time salary and benefits and retirement and housing and all that kind of thing. So that slogan sounds good, but actually what we ought to do is we'll study and pray about missions. Women's Missionary Union, God bless you. Pray and study about missions. And yes, we want to raise money for missionaries and mission work, but Jesus wants us to go too. So we don't do all this just so others can go. That's falling short if we have the capability. Now, not all of us have the capability to go very far. Okay, so he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But we, as we're working and studying and praying and raising money and giving money, we need to be asking ourselves, Lord, what would you have me do with respect to being a missionary? So let's pray and give so that we also may go with others to preach and teach the gospel and to touch people's lives and to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, with respect to rewards, he said that if you give a cup of water in Jesus' name to a prophet, you will receive the prophet's reward. So you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a gifted teacher. Well, what can you do? Can you join a missionary team and is it Pine Grove, the next town south of here, and Jackson? And something I learned just recently, our association, we were thinking that our association area geographically is Amador County, Calaveras County, and Tuolumne. But what I have discovered is the California Southern Baptist Convention, not that they're running anything, but I'm happy with this. We also have Mono County, Alpine County, and Southern El Dorado County. Okay, there used to be an association in El Dorado County called Sierra Foothills. Anybody remember that association? But a few years ago, I don't know what happened, but they stopped functioning. And I went on the Secretary of State's website when I discovered that our association, Mother Lode, had suddenly grown in geographical size. I went on the Secretary of State website and I discovered that the nonprofit religious corporation status of the Sierra Foothills Baptist Association is suspended. So that they have ceased to function. And what happened, apparently, and I'm going to look into this some more, the California Southern Baptist Convention moved Feather River Association a little south into El Dorado County, the Sacramento Association a little east into El Dorado County, and our Mother Lode Association a little north into southern El Dorado County. So basically, we have from Lake Tahoe to North Yosemite on both sides of the Sierra Peaks. Now, some would say, oh, no. Now, I said, praise God. Oh, wow. So why am I excited about developing a missionary strategy and proclaiming God's word on this topic this morning? Jesus wants Sierra Baptist Church to be a truly missionary church. And he wants our association, Mother Lode Baptist Association, to be a truly missionary association. The Great Commission is for every church, and it's for every Christian in every church, and it's for every association of churches. You remember that hymn, "Wherever He leads, I'll go"? Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I remember as a boy singing that song. And I was asking myself at a very early age, "Lord, where do you want me to go?" And He called me to be a minister of His Word. And He's led me into the pastorate. He's led me into prison chaplaincy, military police chaplaincy, hospital chaplaincy, and associational missionary work. And the adventure and the journey continues. But that's not just for me. You say, "Well, you're a professional minister and you're a professional ministry missionary, and that's what you're supposed to do." Okay, well, I was doing it before I became a professional. Okay, I was minding my own business, doing what the Lord called me to do, and other people were saying, "The hand of the Lord's on Michael Cook and on Cindy. We need them to come and serve us, serve with us, to provide missionary leadership." And so Cindy and I were doing missionary work long before we were ever called to be professional missionaries. Okay? And that's what the Lord wants all of us to do. Not necessarily in hands-on preaching and church planting and so forth, but what kind of talents, gifts, and abilities has the Lord given you, and what does He want you to do? He doesn't, as we were saying in Sunday school, just call the equipped. He equips the called. And if you say, "Lord, here am I, send me," what would you have me do? Very often He'll say, "Well, what's that in your hand? What talents, gifts, and abilities, what spiritual gifts do you have? I have equipped you and I am equipping you. And begin to use what you have. Be faithful in little, and I will make it possible for you to be faithful in much." So in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, we see that God gifted the Antioch church with multiple teachers and preachers. Five are named: Barnabas, Paul, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen. Ephesians 4:13 says that gifts to the church, some of the gifts to the church are the godly pastor teachers that God gives to the church. And I have another sermon that I do on your pastor or your pastors are gifts from God to you. Love them, appreciate them, and follow them. Well, the Antioch church had five preachers and teachers that were recognized by the church. Now, when we look around in some of our congregations, we only have one pastor, and sometimes we don't even have a Sunday school teacher in some of our small churches. Sometimes the pastor's doing the Sunday school, and then he takes a break, and he's doing the preaching, and sometimes he's doing the music too. Anybody been in that situation before? Help me here. Okay, yes. All right. But the Antioch church was blessed with five. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a real strong discipleship process at work in the Antioch church, so that they were raising up preachers and teachers. God's call, yes, God's call was on these preachers and teachers, but they were being developed in the context of a discipleship ministry-oriented church. We might say, "Well, we don't have any leaders." Well, do you have a pastor? Yes, we have a pastor. Then learn from your pastor. Follow him as he follows Christ. And before long, you will have some leaders. Amen? That the harvest the gifts and the resources are in the harvest. And the talents, gifts, and abilities and spiritual gifts are in the church, but they need to be identified and developed almost always under the godly leadership of the pastor or pastors of that church. And so in the Antioch church, there were five preachers and teachers. And these five teachers and preachers, along with the rest of the church members, worshiped and fasted and prayed. And as they did so, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So we see a missionary principle here, that passionate worship with fasting and prayer are solid missionary principles. Passionate worship with fasting and prayer. And then another principle that we see is missionaries need God's inward call upon their lives to preach and to teach and to do other kinds of ministries. And they also need the confirmation to be missionaries by their local church. Okay? The church in Antioch confirmed the inward working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these five men. I gave an invitation in one church, and I hope this will not discourage anybody. But I gave an invitation in one of our churches, and I said, "What's the Lord doing in your life? What is He calling you to do?" And we sang and we prayed, and a man came up to me and he said, "I want to be a pastor. What would you recommend me to be a pastor?" I said, "No, brother, I can't do that." And he said, "Why not?" And I said, "You are not ready to be a pastor." This is a guy who had been active in church, working in church, and he had a Master of Divinity degree from seminary. And I told him, "I don't think you're ready." He never talked to me again after that. He was mad. He was mad. But I wonder, does that show a level of spiritual maturity? That he didn't say, "Well, can I meet with you and can we talk about why you think that about me?" No. He just cut me off. And to me, that kind of confirmed that he really wasn't ready to become a pastor or missionary yet. Hard, hard thing to say. But can you imagine if I'd written a letter of recommendation, given it to him, and he goes to a church and uses my letter to be installed as a pastor or a missionary, the destruction that that man could do based upon my recommendation? So it's important that our leaders in missionary work have the inward call from God, but also the outward confirmation from their local church. You with me? Vitally important. Sometimes people will get mad at their local church and they'll go affiliate with a parachurch organization that might not ask for solid recommendations from a local church, and these quote-unquote missionaries bypass the local church to become missionaries. That's not biblical, and we don't do that. Well, I have about six more principles. If the pastor sees fit to ask me back sometime, I can pick up at point principle number four, and we can move forward. But what is it that missionaries do? Sunday school, they were kind of preaching my sermon there this morning. We're ambassadors for Christ. Amen? And we're ministers of reconciliation. We're saying to the nations, be reconciled. to Christ, the King. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassadors to be from realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my King. Amen. Are you here on business for your King? Pastor.